Begin the current daf, Masechta Sanhedrin daf Ayin Beis. Begin on the top line of the Yamid. The Gemara brings a braisa that elaborates on the Mishnah from the at the end of the previous daf, which spoke about the concept of why does a Ben Sayyamur get punished so excessively in regards to that he gets stoned to death when he barely did anything. And that, so the Mishnah, what's called Hashem Sefer, because it's inevitable the path that he's taking. So the Gemara quotes similarly Tanya Lutin the braisa. Basically, the Amri says, V'chibim neisha ochel zer tatim abasa, because this young man ate a tartima of meat, a certain measurement of meat. He drank a half a log of this Italian wine. So the Torah says that he goes out to the court to be executed. Elo rather says Rabbi Yisrael, the Torah reached towards the end of the consciousness, the awareness of the wayward and rebellious son. That the Torah knows the nature of a person. The ultimate will be that he will liquidate all his father's assets. And he's still going to need his measurement, meaning what he's used to in eating of meat and wine. He's not going to find him. He already used up all his parents' money. So he's going to go out to the crossroad. And he's going to rob people. The Torah says, better let him die when he still has merits than when he's going to ultimately lead to this evil, the down, despicable type of a lifestyle that he's going to be living instead of being when he's going to die as a guilty person. Because the death of the wicked, it's good for them so that they will not sin anymore. It's good for the world, like in this case, that they won't be robbed. Well, it's a tzaddikim, whereas in death for the righteous, it's bad for them and it's bad for the world. Sleep and wine for the wicked, just put them to sleep. It's good for them, good for the world. But tzaddikim, for the righteous, bad for them, bad for the world. Sheket l'risham, when there's tranquility for the wicked, then they have time to just conspire. But tzaddikim, but for the righteous, it's good for them, good for the world. Pizur l'risham, when the wicked are dispersed, it's good for them, good for the world, that they're not together. But tzaddikim, but for the righteous, bad for them, and bad for the world. And as the Mishnah concluded, when there's tranquility for the righteous, it's good for them, good for the world, because then they have time and opportunity to toil in Torah and involve themselves in mitzvahs. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, which is related to the theme of the previous Mishnah, which this Mishnah talks about Hababa Machteris. If someone caves in, tunnels into another person's property, which a Torah says you could kill that person who's encroaching and coming in to steal from your property, he's Nidin Al Shem Sefer, the same concept we said in the previous Mishnah regarding the Ben Sayyamur. He's judged based on the inevitable conclusion, because here this Boma Machteris didn't kill it, and yet he's allowed to be killed, because the end is that the ultimate would be that he would kill the homeowner, when the homeowner would stand in his way and not let him rob his stuff. And because of that, he's allowed to be already killed right now. We really consider him as a pursuer of trying to kill somebody. Now, related to this halacha, says the Mishnah, Hayibobah Machteris, if he was caving in, tunneling into someone's house, Veshibras Achavis, and he on his way he broke a barrel of the homeowner. So it says the Mishnah, it depends what type of person this thief who's tunneling in is. Im yeshlo damim, if he has blood, meaning if he's the type of individual that is actually not allowed to be killed while he's trying to come in and rob. For example, a father who's trying to steal from his son, which the Brisa will, the Gemara will bring a Brisa later on, that the son is actually not allowed to kill his father who's ba'al of b'machteres, because the mercy of the father is very strong on the son, and he won't, no matter what the circumstances are, even if the son will stand in his way and say, get in his way of trying to steal the money, the father never has the intention of killing his son. And therefore, the son cannot kill the father in self-defense. So if he would kill the father, there would be blood on his hands. He'd be liable for the death of his father. So if the father, on his way digging in, breaks one of the son's barrels, chayiv, the father is liable to pay for that barrel, like any other person who's mazik, who damages someone else's property, including his son's stuff. But if he has no blood, for example, anyone else, who actually the homeowner is permitted to kill the one who's tunneling in, then the one who's tunneling in, if on his way in he breaks the barrel, he's exempt from paying. The reason for that is because he has both a chiyuv misa and a chiyuv tashlum coming at the same time. Meaning, when he's doing this act of tunneling in, and on the way doing it he breaks the barrel, so there's a liability of paying for the monetary damage. And there's also that he's paying with his life, because he's allowed to be killed right now as a tunneling in. Which halacha is, when there's both a chiyuv misa and chiyuv tashlumin, he's only kim lebedriyamni, he only gets the greater penalty, which is that of death, and not for that of the monetary damage. Now, although ultimately he was saved, and he wasn't even killed, he's still going to be examined for the monetary payment, as the Gemara says in Ksubas Daf Lamed Hey Amud Aleph, regarding Chiv Misa Shaygin, when somebody is liable for a death penalty, but he does it by mistake. For example, let's say he wasn't warned, then he does not pay the money that he was liable at the same time of the liability for the death, even if ultimately at the end he doesn't get executed. Now the Gemara asks, Amar Rav, he says, my time with the Machteris, what's the reason that the Torah tells us that the one who's tunneling in, he has no blood? In other words, that you make him as if he's a person that has no blood and a soul, and that you're allowed to kill him. What's the reason for that? Says Rava, Chazaka, there's a presumption. Ain't other maimon atzmei alam moine. A person does not let someone else that he sees trying to take his money, and that he'll be silent, and that he won't stand on his money trying to protect it, and not let the other person take it. So therefore, the thief knows this, that the homeowner is going to stand in his way and to try to save his money. So Vahai, so this thief, Meima Amar, he tells himself, look, Iya Zilna, if I'm going to go, Koilapoi, this guy, the homeowner, is going to get in my face, Vilishavikli, and he's not going to let me. Ah, Vikoilapoi, and therefore the thief tells himself, he stands in my way, Ketil Nulay, I'm going to kill him. Ah, oh, since because of that, so if I tell you, Amar, the Torah says, that's why Ein Loi Dam, that's why he does not have blood, this thief. Because it teaches you that since in Balaharga, since if he's coming to kill you, Hashkim Laharga, you could get up and kill him first. He's a pursuer, he's trying to kill you. If he's trying to kill you, you're allowed to kill in self-defense, you're allowed to kill him first. Now, relating back to this halacha, the Gemara brings Amar Rav, he says, above a machteris, if someone comes tunneling into someone else's house, literally, v'natal kelim yatz, and he takes something, takes a vessel, he steals it and he leaves, pater, he's exempt from returning it, even though the thing is still around. My time, what's the reason, says Rav? Because b'damim kanano, literally means say he has acquired it with the blood of his soul, since when he took it, he was liable for the death penalty. So there was a chiv misa and a chiv tashlumen. So although he didn't end up getting killed, but it was at that moment that he had a chiv misa, as we said before, and therefore the tashlumen, the item that's still around, he doesn't have to turn it. He like acquired it with his blood, with the fact that that he could have been killed at that time. Now Amar Rava, Rava commented, he says, Mistabra milsed the Rav. He says, the teaching of Rav would be logical that the ganav who is machteris that dug in would be exempt, b'shashibur, when he broke that keli, whether right now or even at a later point in time. Because at that point, the last nahu, if it wouldn't be around anymore, so then you could say that to try to collect from him, that we would not be able to obligate him in a situation where when he stole, which is the requirement of like obligation to pay, at that same moment he was liable for death. I will not lie, but it would be logical to say, but if he took it, then it would not be logical to say this halacha of Rav that he'd be exempt, because since it's extant, it's still around, so wherever it is, it's owned by the owner. And that's not what would be called a chiv tashlumin. Yeah, a chiv tashlumin, you can't make him obligate him to pay up, because for payment to collect from him, you already collected his soul. You can't, even though he didn't die, but that was the obligation, so you can't collect the money. Here, it's just like a deposit. It's just deposited in his domain. It's not a payment. It's the owner's, wherever it is. So then it would be logical to say that then he would have to give it back. But velikim, which is a term of like an oath by God, Amar Rav, Rav says that he's exempt, afilonotel, even if he took it, meaning even if it's still around. And the reason is from here, because what was Rav's logic? Why does he say that even if it's still around? Says Rav, because he holds the ha yesh lay dam, because regarding the case of, let's say, when there is blood, for example, if the father is trying to tunnel in and steal from the son, where the Rav agrees that there's not going to be an acquisition by the father, and he would have to return that at a later time, and we say that even if the nensu, even if it was an oinus happened, which from the moment that it came to the father's domain, the halacha is chayiv. The father would have to return the value. Now, one thing that we see from there is that we do not say from that halacha, again, there's two parallels. There's the one who has yesh leidamim, and we're discussing the case of the one who has ein leidam. The father has blood, meaning if he would be killed, the son would be liable. So therefore, the father cannot be killed, so he does not have a chiv misa. And therefore, if he breaks something, we said that he's going to be chayiv. So moreover, Rav would tell you that let's say he doesn't break it. Let's say he takes it, and he has it back in his house, which he tunneled into his son's house. If an einus would happen, he'd be chayiv. So what do we see? Almo, we see that we don't say that it's a deposit by him. And that if it's a deposit, then it's not an einus that's happened to him, it's lost for the owner. Rather we say, no, b'shtusei kaimi. We say that it's in the domain of the father, and it's lost to him. And therefore, if einus happens, it's his loss, and now he has to compensate his son, the owner. So says Rav, what Rav held was hachinamis here also, regarding the other case of ein lo dam, someone that there's no blood. If he breaks it when he's tunneling in, he would be exempt. So even when it's extant, even when it's around, we do not say that it's a deposit by him. Rather, Bishus say, we say it's in his domain and in his responsibility. That's kind of, that's where it is. So therefore, if the court would want to come and take it from him, it would not just be saying a bekadin, like a deposit, like, oh, it's just by you, let's go give it back. It would be considered a tashlumin, like a payment, because it's already the one who took it. It's his, in his domain. And it would be a tashlumin with a chiv misa, as if you're collecting from any one of his other assets. And that we said, that you can't do tashlumin and misa with the same thing. So therefore, that explains Rav, what was Rav's logic, by explaining that you see that the ganav that was Bama Machteres, when he takes it back home, we view it as if it's in his domain. And therefore, by the father in his domain would actually make him liable. And because it was not in his domain, it was just deposit, then actually it wouldn't be his fault. Okay, it's my son's, it just happened to be my house, it's his loss. We say, no, it's in his domain, and therefore he's responsible. But then the same logic applies to the ein lo dam, a regular person that steals, that we see it that when it's by him, it's owned by him. It's not just deposit, it just happens to be in his house, but wherever it is, it belongs to the owner, to the one that was stolen from. It's his. And if it's his, then therefore, if you would want to take it away from him, it would be considered tashlumin. That's something we say, you can't have misa v'tashlumin ke'echad. However, concludes Rava, and he says, v'lohi. But that's not correct. It's still not logical, the reasoning of Rav in this halacha. Because although in the case that, yes, by the father, when there's yesh leidamim, yeah, I agree to Rav on that beginning of his logic, that there would be an obligation of liability for the father, and we do not consider it that it's although there's a liability, so you're saying, okay, so it's in the father's domain, which that's the beginning of Rav's logic to show it's not just a deposit. But says Rav, that doesn't mean that it makes it totally acquired to the one who takes it, like as if it's one of his other assets. Because kiyukim nerachmana b'shusei, when the Torah says that we consider in his domain, which let's say in regards to the father, would make the one who steals liable to pay, that's only le'inyin einsin, that's regarding responsibility. That if even the einus happens, he's going to have to pay. Well, he cannot say, well, it was an einus. No, because we find by Shimon, by someone who's one that's watching, with the Torah that makes him liable to take an oath, what's called imlei shalach yodeh b'mleches re'eyu, to make sure he didn't touch it. So let's say a Shimon who's, let's say, not getting paid for it, Shimon chinam, Shimon sachar, if an einus happens, he's exempt. But if he shalach yodeh, if he touches it, he misappropriates it, then even if he says it died or was broken, which is an einus, he's going to be chayiv. Because he becomes a gazlan the moment that he touches it, what's called shlichas yad. So therefore, that same thing would apply to the gazlan, because he's straight up a gazlan. Which is, yes, even though it's just a deposit like we find by a shomer, you touch it, now it becomes yours. Not that you own it, it's not the one, the shoyel, it's not the shomer's thing when he touched it. It's his regarding einsin, avalein mikna, but regarding acquiring it, it doesn't acquire it. In that regard, b'shusha demarkamayu, it's considered in the domain of the owner. And therefore, if, of course, it would still be around, and let's say the shomer would want to stop him from taking it back and to say, wait a second, I'm not giving you back the thing you told me to watch. I'll give you back the money, the monetary value of it. Of course not. He hasn't acquired it. And he has to give back the thing as is. As the pasuk says in Mikra, you got to give back the thing that was stolen. Now this, that regarding if there's an einus that he has to give back the money, and he can't say, well, it was an einus, I'm going to be patur, that's only because, in that case, the shomer is not any less than a gazlan, midi to have a shayl, just like we find by a shayl, which is that since all the benefit is his, so the Torah says that it's in the borrower's domain to pay if, let's say, an einus happens. But as long as it's around, of course he has to give back the thing as it is. Here also, where the individual gets all the benefit, of course he's going to have to pay, but not that it's considered as if he owns it. And if Rav disagrees with the logic of Rav, we do not see from the case of Yesh Lei Dam and from the father's case that we see, oh, it's not a pekadim by him, he owns it. No, he owns it only regards to the responsibility, the liability of an einus, but he doesn't own it. And therefore, that wouldn't tell us regarding the one that's Ein Lei Damim, that if he owns it, he doesn't own it, it's a deposit. It's just there's that responsibility that's there. And therefore, if it's still extant, it's not considered tashlumin, and it disagrees Rav with Rav, you would have to give it back to the one that it was stolen from. And it says, Rav, it's not so to learn in our mission like this, seemingly. Our mission says, Baba Machteres. If someone was coming in through a tunnel, v'shibres achavis, and on the way in to steal from someone, he breaks a barrel. So said the Mishnah, yesh leidamim chayiv. If he's an individual, like a father who there's blood, if you would kill him, then he's going to be chayiv, the father, because he didn't have a chiv misa at the time. Ein leidamim potter, but if he didn't have blood, a regular person who he could kill him, so he has like what's called a chiv misa. So at the same time of chiv misa, he can't have a chiv tashlum, and so therefore, that thief is going to be exempt from paying what he broke. Says Rava, time of the Sheba, but one thing we see is the reason why the Ganav is exempt is because he broke it. The Chiyen Leidam and Pata, that therefore in that situation when he doesn't have blood, meaning that he could be killed, then he's going to be exempt. Hanat Allah, but the inference is, but if he took it, that if it didn't break, then that wouldn't apply, then he would be Chayiv, which is because as Rava disagreed with Rav, because he didn't acquire it, wherever it is, it's the owner's thing. He only has it in regards to the Chiyiv Achrayis of Oinis, but it's not his. Says the Gemara, no, hu adin da fila natal nami. The truth is that the halacha of a Mishnah would apply even if he, not only did he broke it, but even if he took it back home, that it'd still be exempt, like Rav said. V'had de gatani shaber zchaber. So why did it say a case of that he broke the barrel? That's kamash mal nami, to teach us a chiddush regarding the first case of the Mishnah. The chiyesh leidam, that when he has blood, meaning a father, avagav de shiber nami chayev. If he took it, of course we would know the father be chayev. The chiddush is that even over there, even if he broke it, this still is going to be chayev. So the Gemara's Peshitta, of course the father's chayiv. What would the chiddush be in that? Mazaku, he's someone that damaged something, and he's chayiv. Who cares, a father to a son, he's still a mazik. So the Gemara, no, hokamashmon, what the Mishnah would be teaching us is that filish lebekavana. Even if he did it unintentionally, he's not trying to break it, he's trying to tunnel in, and he moved, boom, he breaks the barrel. He said, what was that? Quiet. And even though he didn't intend to, still he's going to be chayiv. So the Gemara, my kamashmon, what is that teaching us? Adam mud la'olam, that a person is always liable no matter what the situation is, even if he didn't attend. Tanina, that's a Mishnah we learned already in Baba Kama. The Mishnah says, Adam mu'ed la'olam, a person is always considered deliberate even if he didn't intend to. Which is bein b'shegi, bein b'meizu, whether by mistake, whether did deliberately, bein b'aynis, bein b'ratzen, whether it was, he was coerced or whether he did it willingly. Either way, he's going to be liable. So what's the chiddush? So the Gemara Kasha said, definitely is a difficulty from our Mishnah how to resolve it according to Rav. Now, however, that doesn't mean what's the word that's usually used of tiyuvta, of refutation, which is because ultimately the Mishnah does not say explicitly that if he would take it, he'd be chayiv. You could answer contrived and forcefully, like we answered, that the reason why it says that the ein lo dam is going to be exempt when he breaks it is it would even apply if he took it. It's only for the case of a yesh lo damim that's the case that we said that we picked the case of breaking, which even though we said seemingly that would also be unnecessary. But it's not an open refutation. That's the difference between Akasha and the Tiyufta. Akasha is a difficulty, but doesn't refute, because it's not a clear refutation. It's just like, okay, difficult. Why did Mishnah say that? What's the Chiddush? Adamu la'olam. We know that from Mishnah Baba Kama. But it's not a refutation of the opinion of Rav. Now, Masav Rabbi Barbaya. Rabbi Barbaya asked on Rava, who Rava disagreed with Rav, and he said that if the thing is still around, that then the Ganav, even of the Ein Leidamim, would have to return it from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, "Hagoyin of kiss b'Shabbos." If someone steals a wallet on Shabbos, well, he picks it up from the person that he's stealing from, and he acquires it by what's called the kinyan of hagbah, picking it up. So then, chayiv, he's going to be liable to return that purse, that wallet, even though he then ultimately later, as he's stealing it from the person, he ran out of the guy's house into the street, what's called the Rishus Rab, and he was liable for the death penalty of haitzah for carrying from Rishus Yochet to Rishus Rab on Shabbos. He's still going to be chayiv. Why? Because his liability for the theft was Kodim Shayavel, the Issa Shabbos, was before he came to the liability of the violation of the Issa and Shabbos. So therefore, his liability for death, which came afterwards, cannot exempt him from the payment which came before him, because it was at different times. However, let's say he was dragging and going out, where he never lifted it up. So he never acquired it in that person's house, because it's always still in the domain of the owner, and he didn't do Hagbah yet. But when he went out to the Rishus Rab, and then he acquired it with what's called a Shina Rishus, with a change of domain from that guy's private property, where he took it out from that guy's domain, and then he took it out to the Rishus Rab. As he took it out to the street, he put his hand lower on three tefachim from the ground, and he put it into his hand, where, although that's not a full domain, because his hand is not a domain of 4x4 tefachim, however, but a person's hand is considered an area of alba, and it's like his portable chatzar, even though there's no hagbah, and this is how the Gemara explains him in Ksubis. So in that type of situation, he's actually going to be putter. He's going to be exempt from the payment. Why? He's not going to have to pay back the purse that he stole. Because here the violation of the theft and the violation of the being stoned for the Isser Shabbos HaBitzah happened at the same time. Because the moment he took it out to the street was the moment he acquired it, and when he did the Isser Malach HaBitzah. And as we said before, one cannot be chayav for Misa and Tashlumen at the same time. Now, one thing we see from this Braisa is even though the person, the money is still around, still we say Rav's logic of Bedami Kananihu, that he acquires it with the life of his blood, and that we do not take it away from him, which refutes Rava, who said that Natal Loi, that when he takes it, then he's not exempt, and that he would have to pay. But says the Gemara, to answer that question, the Hilchas of the Halacha is that this Tevilut Nebrais that says he's exempt from paying back the money is, for example, this Shadinu Binahara, is when he threw it into the river. I mean, let's say the police were about to catch him in the theft, and he throws it into the river, where then the money's not around, then it would be considered Tashlumen. That's Tashlumen of Misa. That, everyone agrees, even Rava, that one would be Pater, Rav still disagrees with Rav, and it's not disproved in the Braisa. In the case when there would still be around, he would hold that he would be Chayiv, even if it was happened at the same time. However, the Gemara does bring an incident that says, Rav ignuvu leidichrei b'machtarta. Rav had these rams that were stolen from him by an individual who tunneled into his property, and Adrina Nale, and later on, the thieves had a change of heart, and they returned the rams that they stole from Rav. Says the Gemara, but look, Kiblin and Rava did not accept him. Why? He said, since the psak came out from the mouth of Rav, although he disagreed, and the Rav's halacha was that the ptur of above and machteris would be not only if they break, but even if they take it. So these ganavim already acquired it. It's like he sold it to them with the liability for their life, which they were chayv when they tunneled in, and now it's like a gift. He doesn't want a gift from them. It's not his. It's theirs, and therefore he didn't accept the reimbursement of his rams that were stolen from him. Now the Gemara brings a brisa that elaborates on the halacha of our Mishnah of Abba Machteres. Tanban Lina brisa. There are two psukim in the beginning of Shmoy's Perich of Beis, Pasuk Aleph and Beis, which talks about this halacha of Abba Machteres. The pasuk there says in whole, "In the Machteres Yimatzei Aganav." If in a tunnel the thief will be found, v'hukah, and he'll be hit, he'll be killed, v'mason, he'll die. In Leidamim, he doesn't have any blood, meaning there's no liability for killing him. He's like a dead man. He would have a chiv misa for coming in, as we explained before, because he's coming to kill the homeowner. Now continues the next pasuk, in Zarcha Hashem Mishalav, if the sun is shining on him, then in Damim Loi, he is blood to him, meaning that the one would be liable if, having killed him, you're not allowed to kill him, that one who comes in. Then Shalom Yishalom, pay he shall surely pay that for what he stole. And the main life, he doesn't have an imkim b'gnevasa, if he can't pay back what he stole, then you have to sell him for the theft that he stole, because he is liable for that case, because he cannot be killed. Says the Braisa, the first pasuk ends off with the words, Ein lo yidam, he has no blood, which we said that's regarding the one who's Baba Machteres. Now, it near that, it starts off the next pasuk, the words right near that is, Zarcha Hashem Mishalav, if the sun is shining on him. Now the question is, V'chei Hashem Mishalav Bavad Zarchua, is the sun only shining on this one who's tunneling in? What does that mean? Ella, rather, we're coming to Darshan, what's called Simuchim. The words are near each other, comes to tell us a halacha, that is, when are you permitted to kill this individual? When is he Ein Lo Yidamim? That's only as the next pasuk continues, at the time when the sun is shining on him. What does that mean? Imbar Lecha Hadavar, if it's so clear to you, Kashemesh, like the sun, She'ein Lo Shalom Imach, that this individual who's coming to steal from you does not have peace with you. In other words, he's coming to kill you if you're going to stand up against him. Then it was what the pasuk is telling you, hargeyu, that you could kill him, then he's ein leidamim. But vimlav, if not, but let's say it's a situation of doubt, then the pasuk is teaching you, al targeyu, then you're not allowed to kill him. That's one brisa. Tanid echulin, a different brisa, the opposite. It says, imzarcha Hashem eshalav, the second pasuk begins, as we quoted, that if the sun is shining on him, and the pasuk continues, damim loy, that he does have blood to him, meaning you're not allowed to kill him. Now, V'chei Hashem Mishalav B'lvad Zarchi, is the sun only shining on that individual? Ella, rather, it's coming to teach you that when are you forbidden to kill him, meaning that as the second pasuk is talking about, that damim loy, he does have blood, is at a time when the sun is shining on him. In other words, in Bar Lecha Kashemesh, if it's clear to you like the sun, Sheyesh Lo Yishalom Imach, that he does have peace with you, that he's merciful on you, and that even if he would stand up to save your money from him, he would not kill you, that's what the pasuk is telling you, that Al Targei, you're not allowed to kill him, meaning, but if you do, he has damim loy. But Vimla, but if not, let's say you are in doubt, it's not so clear, then it's telling you, Hargei, that you're allowed to kill him. Says the Gemara, Kashi Stama Stama, we have these anonymous brises that contradict each other. What's in the situation when you're in doubt if he's coming to kill or not? Is that an allowance that you are could kill him, or that you're not allowed to kill him? Says the Gemara, it's not a difficulty. Why not? As the Gemara continues to Talmud Beis, and actually clarifies that these two psukim, which they're actually talking about two different situations of if yesh li damim or ein li damim, and moreover, therefore, in those situations, the doubt will be translated differently. Khan, the first brisa, which is talking about the first pasuk, is ba'av ala ben. It's talking about where a father tunnels in to steal from his son's property. In that situation, out of doubt, that we're going to say that his son cannot kill the father. Why? Because most definitely we assume that the father's mercy is on his son. And even if the son would come to save his own money, the father would not kill him. And therefore there is damim loy, even a situation of doubt, until you know for sure like the son that he's cruel and he does hate you and that he would kill you. Only then could you kill him. But in doubt you cannot. Khan here in the second brisa, which is talking about the second pasuk, is beben ala av. It's talking about where the son is tunneling in to steal from the father, and for sure any other random person, where there you're allowed to kill him out of doubt. Because there we assume that most definitely he is coming with that intention that if you're going to stand up in front of him to save your money, he's going to kill you. Until you know most definitely, like the son, that he is merciful on you like a father to a son, only then can you not kill him, but in doubt, you could kill him. And that's the resolution. That's actually the two different psukim, which the two different brises are darshaning regarding the words of Zarchalav HaShemesh regarding if Einlidam or Yeshlidam. Now, Amar Rav, Rav actually says regarding this last halacha, says, "Kol da asei alai b'machtar, to whoever would come on to me by tunneling into my property, ketunnelei, I would kill him. Lebarim Reb Chanina Bar Shila, except Reb Chanina Bar Shila. My time, what's the reason? Ilei m'mishum detzadiku, if you'd entertain to say because, oh, he's a righteous person, but you can't say that, ha'ko asei b'machtar, he would be tunneling in, he's not so righteous, obviously, he's coming to steal from me, why would I not kill him? Elemishum dekimli begavei, it's only because I know regarding him, that he has mercy on me, karacham aval ben, like a father to a son, and therefore I know for sure, even if he would be trying to steal from me, he wouldn't kill me, and therefore I would not be allowed to kill him." Again, that's like the situation of aval ben. Tanabon linda braisa. The pasuk says, as we quoted in the second pasuk, that damim loy, that there's bloods to him, which is in the plural. Why does it say in the plural? To teach you that in more than one situation, that there's blood, if you would kill this person, that you would not be allowed to kill him. Which is Bein Mechoil, Bein Meshabbos. Whether if he's tunneling in the weekday or on Shabbos, it's forbidden for his son to kill his father who's tunneling in, because he's not coming to kill you. So you're not allowed to kill him, no matter if it's Choil or Shabbos. Now the first pasuk that said, Ein Loi Damim, that there is no bloods, is also in the plural regarding a regular person who's tunneling in. What's that coming to teach you? It's coming to tell you that there's no blood, Bein Mechoil, Bein Meshabbos. Whether if he tunnels in during the weekday or on Shabbos, you're allowed to kill him. That's what the Braisa says. So ask the Gemara, Bishlem Ein Loi Dam, we could understand one of those two teachings, which says, regarding a regular person, that says that there's no bloods, is Bein Mechil Bein Shabbos, that we said you're allowed to kill him whether weekday or Shabbos. Itzuch, we understand the necessity of that teaching, because Sagat Aitachim, you would have thought to say, that this guy, who you're allowed to kill, should be the same as the case of a person that is executed in the Jewish court. Where the Shabbos like Katlinan, on Shabbos we don't execute him, as the Gemara says on Daf Lamahayim Abayis, it says in Pasuk Lisavara Eish B'chomesh V'seichem, which comes to teach B'chomesh V'seichem, we learn that Gzeir Shabbat, that in everywhere, even in the area of the court, you're not allowed to kill someone doing Mises Bezin on Shabbos. Kamash Malon, the Katlinan, that's the Chiddush of this Drasha, that in this situation, you're allowed to kill this attempted murderer, because of pikuach nefesh, because to save the person's own life. So although you're not allowed to execute a wicked person, but in this situation, you're allowed to execute him as a way of self-defense, which is even on Shabbos. El adam loy, but ask the Gemara, regarding the teaching that says that there is blood to him, when, let's say, a father is tunneling into a son, that you're not allowed to kill him, which teaches us, bein mechel bein Shabbos, that's whether in the weekday, whether on Shabbos. So why does it have to say in the plural to say both? If during the weekday you're not allowed to kill him, so b'Shabbos mibayi, could you entertain that you could kill him on Shabbos? What does that mean? What's this drasha? So Rav Sheshi says, "Loi nitzcha." No, it's necessary to say this. Ela means to say lefakech alav esagal, to clear away the rubble off of him. In other words, let's say he was tunneling into a property, and because of that, the foundation got weak, and the whole wall collapsed on him. You can clear off the rubble from him, since he's not coming to kill the homeowner. That's the chiddush that say bein mechil bein meshabbos, that damim loy, he does have blood. Not that you can't kill him, of course you can't, but actually that you could go ahead and save him. Not only during the weekday because he wasn't coming to kill you, but even on Shabbos you could clear the way. But in contrast, let's say he was coming to kill the homeowner, so since you could kill him without even warning him, he's already considered a dead man from the moment he starts digging in. And therefore, when the wall collapsed on him, actually such a person is already considered dead. He's not allowed to be mechal Shabbos to save that individual. But the father to the son, that's what teaching the dam and loy, be mechal even on Shabbos, meaning to even clear away, to do a chil Shabbos, to save his life. Tanaman, the pasuk there continues and says, and this is in the first pasuk, it says, im b'machteres yimatzakam, it says, if you in the tunnel, you're going to find the thief tunneling into your property. So it says, v'huka, and he's going to be killed. And it says, and if he dies, then ain't loydam, there's no deblatim, there's no liability of having killed this person. Now, when it says vahuka, the Brisa teaches us that says b'chol adam, that he could be killed through any person, even not the homeowner, is allowed to kill him. And that we know because it doesn't say vihiko, that you could kill him, it says vahuka, and he's killed, which sounds like through any person. And then the next word in the pasuk is v'meis, and he dies, teaches you, b'chol misa, shatu yachol misa, you're allowed to kill him, whatever it takes to kill him, and in which way you could kill him. So ask the Gemara in these two drashas, bishlem b'huka b'chol adam itzrach. Most definitely it was necessary to say the chiddush of the drasha, of that, and he could be killed through any person, that's necessary to say, because you would have thought to say, it's only balabayisu, it's only the homeowner that's allowed to kill the one who's tunneling in. Because it's regarding him that the thief is the kimluhu, that he knows regarding the homeowner, the ain od maimer atzma amamayna. He knows that the homeowner is not going to stand idly by while someone else takes his money, and therefore he's coming with the intention to kill the homeowner. So since he's coming to kill the homeowner, it makes sense in self-defense, he's allowed to kill the thief. Aval acher, but some other random person that happens to be around at that time, that loy, that no, that actually would not be allowed to kill the thief, because the thief is not coming to kill that other person. He's only coming to kill the homeowner. So why would that other person be allowed to kill? It's not self-defense of him. Kamash Malan, that's what the drasha is teaching, that since he's coming to kill some Jew, any Jew, whoever the homeowner is, so the Raidifu, so he's considered a pursuer, he's trying to kill some Jewish person's life. So that's why, therefore even a random other person is allowed to go ahead and save the homeowner's life with killing the pursuer, which is halacha of a Raidif, one is allowed to save someone else's life who's being pursued by someone else. So we understand the necessity of that drasha. Ella, but the next word in the pasuk, v'meis, and that he dies, which tells us, b'chol misa shat yoch la misa, you gotta kill him whatever way it takes to kill this guy who's tunneling in. Ask the Gemara, lamali, why was it required to say that drasha? Mirtzeich nafki, you already know the halacha from a murderer. The Tanya learned the Brayis, the pasuk says, b'midbar, regarding a murderer, it says, mois yumas hamaka, the one who killed someone else shall surely die, because Mirtzeich, he's a murderer. Says the Brayis, I would only know that you could execute a murderer in the death penalty that the Torah says, which is through the saif, by being beheaded. But how do you know that if you can't kill him in the way that he's normally supposed to be killed, which is by the sword? What does that mean? For example, let's say he was a sorcerer, or there was a river in the way, but and therefore he was able to escape the court executing him. But you could go ahead and shoot an arrow or throw a rock at him and kill him. That you are allowed to kill him, in any which way that it takes to kill this murderer. Tamalema says, the Braisa, that die he shall surely die, which teaches you become whatever it takes to kill him, even not in the regular death penalty of Sai, if you're allowed to kill him. So you see this halacha, that you're allowed to kill someone that's liable for the death penalty, whatever way it takes. Why do you need a special drash over here by the Bamachteres, who we know you're allowed to kill him, to tell Vameis that you're allowed to kill him whatever which way? Says the Gemara, no, Shani Hasam, you can't learn that from Ritzach. There it's different, because the Amakram Meisumas, the Pasuk says explicitly, die here shall surely die. So there it says why you're allowed to kill him any which way. But how would we know that applies to Baba Machteres? But now the Gemara asks, okay, fine. It says that Drush over there, but the Nigmar Meneh, but let us learn out from there. The Torah is teaching over there, and that which then extend to all those who are liable to death, that you kill him any which way. Says the Gemara, no, you wouldn't be able to learn out from Ritzach. Mishum Dehava Ritzach, because the case of the murderer, which teaches us you're allowed to kill him any which way. V'goyel ha'adam, and the redeemer of the blood, which is the relative of someone that was killed by someone else, who he's allowed to, with his blood boiling, try to avenge the blood of his relative, to kill the one who killed him, even if the guy who killed him did it by mistake. So the Gemara tells us in Perek Nigmar Din, the Memhei Mebeis, that you don't need to fulfill the pasuk literally as it says, it has to be the goyel ha'adam, the relative itself. Because the Gemara there tells us that even the court, if there's no relative, the court appoints a surrogate relative to take that role and to go ahead and avenge the blood of the one who was killed, which also teaches that same idea of whatever which way it takes to kill him, even if it's not literally sayif, like in the case of Ritzach, or in the case of Goyel Adam, the relative. So there you have Shnei Kesum Abom Keachad. You have two Pesukim teaching the same concept. And the halacha is, v'choshniksim avam ke'echad eim alamdu. When you have two psukim teaching the same concept, then you don't learn. Because if you would learn from it, then just say one pasuk. If you're saying both, obviously he's coming to say, no, that you have to delineate every case that has that halacha, and that you can't learn out from that one case that was said, and therefore you couldn't learn from the two of them. And therefore, had we not had the riboy by Habama Machteres of Vameis, then I would have thought to say that you would have to actually kill the Baba Machteres in the death that it says in the Torah, which is like when it says, Vahuka, that he's hit, but you would not be able to choke him and to drown him in the water. That's why Vameis teaches you could kill the Baba Machteres in any which way it takes. Tanabon Linda Brysa, continue on this halacha, the pasuk says that im b'machteres imatzegan, if the thief was found in a tunnel, tunneling his way in. So says the Brysa, ainli ele machteres, I would only know that if he dug in the wall of the house, then he's liable for this halacha. But gagoy, if let's say he went up a ladder up to the homeowner's roof, or chatzer, he went into his courtyard, or b'karfiv, he went into his field, and he went in through the open entryway that he found open into the guy's field. Minayin, how would you know that the same halacha of a guy who's trespassing and is coming into the property has the same halacha as a baba machteres? Tamalim, that's the pasuk teaches, yimatzei haganav, the ganav is found. Now, it should have just said, im b'machteres yimatzeinu, if in the tunnel you find him. Why is it that yimatzei haganav, the word haganav, the thief, seems to be extra? Which sounds like that in any situation that he appears to be a ganav, mikom lokom, in all situations he's going to have this halacha of that you could kill him and ain lo dam. So if we're including all types of thieves that come into the property, so why does it say specifically the one who tunnels in? Says the Brisa, they should rape ganav and mitzuyin b'machteres, because most thieves are found in the tunnel, because that's how they do it, clandestine, they sneak underground, and that's how they would normally dig in. That's why it says it, that the Torah mentions what's called behavior in normal type of situations, but it would apply even in gage chatzer v'kafif. That's one interpretation, why it says machteres specifically. Tanya Induch learned another brisa, it says the same idea, but differently. It says machteres, the Torah says that if you find him in the tunnel. So, enli ele machteres, I would only know in the tunnel. Gage chatzer v'kafif v'minayin, how do you know the same thing applies if he came in through the roof, or through the courtyard, or through the field? Tamalami yimatzagan mekamokim, if you find a thief, it says the extra word haganim, in all situations he's going to have this halacha. Says this brisa, imke matam alo v'machteres, then why does it pick out specifically the tunnel? Says the Brisa, because machterosai zui hasra osai, because his tunneling in is his warning. What does that mean? It means to say that in this situation, he doesn't need any other warning. Rather, you could kill him right away. Because since he put in the effort, and he's going in, and he's putting his life at risk by tunneling in, his intention is with that idea that if this homeowner is going to get in my way, I'm going to kill him. So therefore, the Torah tells you, since he's pursuing, he wants to kill you, you don't have to warn him. Rather, you could go ahead and kill him right away in self-defense or as a other person, to kill that other person, to defend him from that other person. In contrast, if someone enters someone else's courtyard or his roof through an opening, you're not allowed to kill him until you warn him with witnesses to tell him that, hey, look at this. If what's going to happen if this guy's going to stand in your way, you're going to kill him? And this guy accepts the warning and he says, yeah, I know. And it's with that intention that I'm going to do this. If he gets in my way, I'm going to kill him. Only then are you allowed to kill him. But without a warning, you're not allowed to, because maybe his intention was not to kill. It's just that he found an opening. Well, interesting, an open door over here. Why is this unlocked? But his intention was, if a guy's going to get in my way, I'm going to run out. Versus if someone's digging in, tunneling in, his intention, I'm going to get this money. If this guy gets in my way, I'm going to kill him. So that's what it says machteres to teach in that situation. He does not even need a warning. He's automatically a dead man. You're allowed to kill him in all situations. Now, relating back to this halacha, the Gemara brings a teaching from Amar Rav Huna. He says, katan haroidif, if a minor is chasing after another minor to kill that kid, two kids, one kid is running after the other one with a knife. So says Rav Huna, nitin lahatzila benavshei, so you're allowed to save that the victim kid by killing the kid who's running after him. As Gemara teaches us later on, the next daf, that's if regarding a murderer, you're allowed to save the one who's being pursued with the life of the one who's pursuing him. Now, the chiddush of Rav Huna is that even though this kid, the one who's trying to kill, is a minor, and he's not an adult that could accept a warning, but regarding the halacha of pursuing someone to kill, his halacha is like an adult. Why? Explains the Gemara, because Ksav Rav Huna holds, Raidif in a tzarach hasra. You're right, if he was a minor for all other halachic purposes, you can't warn him, he's not an adult, and therefore you wouldn't be able to execute him. But he says a pursuer to kill someone does not need to be warned. Loishna God of Loishna Kotten doesn't make a difference if he's an adult or a minor. When it comes to save someone else's life, you don't need to warn. It's only regarding executions by the courts, where the courts cannot kill an individual unless he was warned first. But regarding a roidif, someone that's coming to kill, that ability to save someone else's life, it does not require a warning, and therefore even if it's a minor who cannot receive warnings, it doesn't make a difference. You don't have to warn him, and therefore you're allowed to kill that kid who's trying to kill the other kid. That's Rav Huna's teaching. Rav Chizkiah, however, asked Rav Huna from a Mishnah, Masechtas Aleis. The Mishnah there is talking about a woman who is having a difficult childbirth, and her life is in danger. So the beginning of that Mishnah teaches, so the midwife, or the doctor, sticks their hand inside the woman's womb, cuts up the fetus, and takes it out limb by limb. Because as long as the fetus has not entered into this world, the fetus is not considered a complete nefesh, a complete human being, and you're allowed to kill the fetus to save the mother. But, continues the Mishnah, if yatsa roishai, if the baby's head has already come out from the mother, then you're not allowed to touch the child to kill it, and to even save the mother, even if the mother's going to die, because the child is already like he's born. And Allah is lafisha in deichin nefesh mitnei nefesh. You're not allowed to reject one life to save another life. So although the mother's giving birth to the child, but the child's already considered born, and you're not allowed to kill the child to save the mother. Now Rashi says, although there is a story of Sheva ben Bichri that's brought in Shmuel Beis and Perek Chaf, that when they wanted his life, and the people that were behind the wall said, okay, his head is thrown to you, and they showed him that he's dead, which they did reject a life to save their lives. And that says Rashi, that's because even if they had not given him over to them, he would have been killed in the city when Yoav would have captured the city, and they would have been killed with him too. But if, let's say, he would have been saved, even though they would have been killed, then you're right, they would not have been able to give him over to save themselves. Or additionally, another answer is, because actually, Sheva ben Bichri was a Morid b'Malchus, he rebelled against the king, as the Braisa teaches him in Tosefta and Tumuras, which is that he's allowed to be killed anyway. So that wasn't being considered, they were saving themselves with his life. He was liable for the death penalty anyway. But the halacha is, he's not allowed to kill someone else to save someone else's life. That the question is, according to Rav Huna, v'amai, but why? Roidefu, this child is a pursuer, he's trying to kill the mother. As he's coming out, it's the travails of the child pushing his way out, which is killing the mother. He's a roidef. You said even a minor, you're allowed to kill him to save the person who's being killed because of the roidef. In this case, it's the child, you're allowed to kill him. So the Gemara, no, Shani Hassan, there it's different. In childbirth, it's because the Mishimaya Karadfila, it's actually from heaven that they're pursuing the mother. It's not the baby. The baby is just a tool from Shemayim through the childbirth to kill the mother. But it's not the child who's killing the mother. It's others that are using him. It's from heaven, and therefore the child's not the right. If you're not allowed to kill the child to save the mother, but that doesn't contradict Rav Huna's halacha. Now, says the Gemara, name is Ayele. Actually, let's say we could support Rav Huna's halacha in the following braisa. The braisa says, Reidiv shayi reidiv achachaver lahargir. Someone that was pursuing after his friend to kill him. So, Imelo, you tell the one who's pursuing, listen up. Ra'ah, you should see Sheisralhu, the one that you're trying to kill is a Jew. Uvem Brisu is a person from the covenant. Vatayram, the Torah says, as it says in Bereishis, Shevich Dama Adam, someone spills the blood of man. But Adam, because of that man, Dama Yishafich, his blood will be spilled. In other words, whoever sees him that will spill his blood, because of that person that he's pursuing, what does it mean is, but Adam, because to save that person, he's allowed to go ahead and kill the person that's trying to pursue him. Which Amr Tyre, they tell this person, the Torah says, Hatzel Damishal Zeh, but Damishal Zeh, you should save this person's blood with that other person's blood. Now over here, the Braisa doesn't say that the pursuer says, yes, I know that, and it's with that intention that I'm doing that. So therefore there's no receipt of any warning. And even so, the Braisa tells us that he's going to be Chayiv. So we see, like Rav Huna's halacha, that there doesn't have to be a receipt of Asra, which is the same concept of his halacha regarding a minor who cannot be have Asra. Here also, that they warned him, but he didn't never said, yes, I know. The Hasra only worked when he says, yes, I know, and I'm doing it anyway. He doesn't say that over here. So seemingly, you see like Rav Huna that you don't need to accept the Hasra. So the Gemara, no, it's no right to Rav Huna, because I hear Rabbi Yisrael Behuda. That price is going like Rabbi Yisrael Behuda. That even by Harugi Bezdin, those who have to be executed by the courts do not need Hasra. Rather, it's only the reason why we do give a warning is only to differentiate. And actually, that's why Rabbi Yisrael Behuda holds that a Tamach Chacham does not even need Hasra, because he doesn't need to differentiate. It's only an Amma Aretz who you have to warn him, only that he could not say, oh, I didn't know, I was a Shaygik. But the receipt of the warning, that Rabbi Yisi holds that even Amma Aretz doesn't require, because the whole concept of Asra according to him is only to make sure that you know the halacha. We're telling you. You don't have to say you know. Tamach Chacham, we don't have to warn, because we know he knows. The time like Linda Bryce Reis, I mean, he says Chaver ain't tzarach hasra. A Talmud Chacham does not need to be warned before he does a sin to be executed by the courts. Lefish leinitna hasra, because the warning was only given. Elahavchem and Shegel Lemezi. He disagrees with the Chacham regarding the Chacham hold no hasra is a keter sakasim that you always require. He says no, it's a logical reason. It's only to differentiate between that the person cannot claim he did it by mistake to make sure that he knows he's doing it deliberately. So that's not a riot, Rav Huna. Rav Huna is going according to Chacham hold that you need to have hasra. There, we could say even by right, if you would need to accept the hasra, as you need in all situations of a ruge bezin. This halacha is like a piece of Buddha holds that you never need to have an acceptance of the hasra. So of course, the same thing on halacha would apply to the right. So the Gemara continues trying to bring a raya. Tashema from a brisa, not like Rav Huna. The brisa says right if shay right if achachaver laharga, someone who is pursuing after his friend to kill him. So Amaloi, so the people, the witnesses tell him, Re'esha Yisrael, who you should just know that you should see that he's a Jew, Uvem Brisu, and he's a person from the covenant. But the Torah says, Shevich Dama Adam, whoever spills the blood of another man, but Adam, that because of that person, Dama Yeshavach, the murderer's blood will be spilled. We're going to kill you. You're going to be executed. So Yem Amar Yudeani, if he says, yes, I know, Shehu Kain, that it's like that. So Pater, he's exempt. Why? Why is he exempt? Because as long as he doesn't say the next phrase, Amenas Kain Ani Isa, it's with that intention that I'm doing that, that yes, I know I'm going to get killed because of that, which as the Gemara teaches on Daf Memalef and Medalef, says Yumas Hames, the dead will die, which means until he opens him up to death, because he's saying, yes, I know, and I'm willing to accept the penalty of death for what I'm doing, only then would he be Chayiv. So you see clearly here from this Braisa, that it says regarding the case of a Raidiv, that he needs Hasra, and if not, we cannot go ahead and save the defendant's life, by killing the Raidiv. So you see, not like Rav Huna, that a minor or anyone who does not accept the Hasra, who does not say that it's with that intention I'm doing, which is a Kabbal Hasra, you can't kill him. Says the Gemara, two answers. Light Tzricha, no, it's necessary for this Braisa, it's talking about a specific case. The Koi betray Ivir Dinahar, we're talking about where they're actually on two opposite sides of the river. Meaning the one who's warning is on one side of the river, and the one who's chasing and being chased is on the other side of the river. Where anyways he can't save the victim. And this that it says in the Braisa regarding if he's exempt or liable, this Raidiv, was not talking about right now if he could kill him at the time that he's pursuing. It was going regarding being executed later on in the court, which is after that he already kills the one that he's chasing. Because Mayika, in other words, what right now is incumbent upon the one who's witnessing this crime as it's unfolding? He can't save the person, he's on the other side of the river. So what could he do at least for justice is the bay asui lebedin, is that at least he should bring that person to court to have him killed. As it says in the Pasuk Dvarim Chabez, it's your responsibility to execute, get rid of the evil amongst you. Beidin bay asra. For court? Of course. Everyone agrees over there that you need to have asra. And without that you can't execute him. That doesn't contradict Rav Huna. If it was told that he was on the same side of the river and it was to kill the pursuer right now to save the victim, of course, then Rav Huna would say that you don't have to have him accept the asra, just like he said regarding a minor trying to kill another one. That Bryce is talking about that you can't save him. And the Chayiv and Pater, to hold him responsible, was told about to have him executed in the court. For court execution, he has to have a Kabbalah of asra. Or Ibai say, or if you want to give a different answer, Amalach Rav Huna, Rav Huna would tell you, you're right, this Bryce is not like me, but I know the Amri Ketana de Machteris, but I hold like the Tana of the Bryce that talked about the tunnel, which was the halacha we said before we brought this halacha of Rav Huna, the Amr that he says, why does it pick out specifically in the pasuk of this thief a tunnel if we said the same thing applies to Gagir Chatzir V'Kafifi? It's because the Amr, he says, Machtarasa Izui Hasru Asai. He says, because if someone's tunneling in, that's his warning. What does that mean? Because we know that if someone's tunneling in, we said that we obviously are assuming that he's coming to be a Raidiv to kill the homeowner. So what does that mean? So why doesn't he have to be warned? Obviously implicit in that Tana is because a Raidiv does not need a warning. So a Machteris is even considered implicitly a Raidiv, because that's he's going through all that effort to kill that person if it's necessary. So you see the Tana that Bryce holds like me, that Machteras is Asrasa, which is that if he's a Raidiv, he does not need a warning. Although this Bryce, yes, we could say in the second answer, is not like me, which holds that you do need a warning even by Raidiv, but I hold like the Tana who holds that you don't need a warning for a Raidiv. You could kill him right away without him even accepting the warning.